And Tis the Law has the lead at the top of the stretch. It is Tis the Law in front with 3/16 to the finish. Tis the Law has a four-length lead. He's left the others behind.
Live from the backstretch at historic Saratoga Racecourse, this is Racing Across America. Racing Across America is brought to you by Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga. Just minutes from the track. The new Capital OTB wagering platform. Bet any place, anytime, with the new Capital OTB wagering platform. CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier wagering site in New York State. And the Clubhouse Racebook. Can't make it to the track? Make it to the Clubhouse Racebook. 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Good morning. Welcome to Racing Across America on this Friday morning. I'm Seth Merrill, as usual, live from our Clare Court location on, as we said earlier, a beautiful Saratoga morning. Today on the show, we were expecting to have Gary Siaka. I got a text from him. Friday is turf work day, and he had a couple of horses that he was going to bring out on the turf. I was kind of looking forward to getting Gary's side of the thing. We had Ed Fazone in the other day. They won the stake, the Susie O'Kane, the other day with Dream Central.
I wonder if Dream Central's working.
That could be. In fact, I think that's very possible. But we'll try to reschedule Gary at some point. But we will have Joe Clancy in a few minutes. He will join us regular rotation for the Saratoga Special Crew. Johnny V, I caught him in the jocks room yesterday because it's PDJF weekend coming up. Autograph session tomorrow, karaoke Sunday night, so we'll have that coming up. And a little towards the end of the show, Mike Rapoli here in the last half hour. We will have plenty of time to talk to Mike, one with Nest, one with Fearless yesterday. We'll talk about that and much, much more. We'll look forward to some of his runners as well. But because Gary Siaka was a late scratch, I asked Anthony to stick around, and we talk often about, you know, well, we certainly make picks on the handicapping show, and I always say I think it's worthwhile to also look at the structuring angle. You know, the handicapping is one thing. The other side of the same coin is the how you play, and you talk. For me, I'm exactas, and I like pick fours and whatnot. You're a tri guy, so I thought maybe we'd
Which makes you versatile. You're vertical and horizontal. I think in this day and age, there's fewer and fewer of those. I think when I talk to folks that are in this, let's say, basically hardcore from, say, February to Breeders' Cup weekend, that it seems that we've all settled into a camp. And I am one of those. I cannot remember the last pick three, pick four, pick five. I would say maybe never. I 5 or 6 years ago, I had an opinion that champagne room that was $60, so I wanted to really blow it out, and I took a small ticket. But I'm a vertical player, almost, Seth, I would say not quite 100%, but my two bets are to bet the horse that I like that's keying the triple and a win bet. He's 4-1. My opinion and the data shows me that if I'm right about the horse winning the race and my types of horses at 6-1, we have to get paid. So you have to make a win bet. So that's just a mechanical apparatus for me. And I've also noticed that if the horse that I like to win the race, which for a trifecta player, and certainly pick three, is the most important thing, wins, invariably it always covers my exotic play. So I walk away, I never, like, feel awful that I let a $14 horse go, and I finish in the black, you know, maybe only like 20% or something, because obviously the loss in the trifecta eats it up. And my, you know, not counting Breeders' Cup Day, which is to me a singular type of a gambling event, which I love, I'm usually, when I think the favorite is very susceptible to not hit the board, and basically a 1 by 3 by 5 or 6, you know, almost a pyramid effect. And there's usually 2 or 3 races a day that I'm vested in because it meets that, where my winner will be $12, $14-ish, and I think the favorite might not affect or be in the triple at all. And it's just, you know, it's worked for me. The data shows that it works.
Build the pyramid and race eight. We got a minute or two.
Right, here we go. To me, it all starts with Lyrical Poet, who I like with the early speed from the inside, and it's 6-1, and we'll see how that goes. And then the fact that Chuck Willis is on the outside as the favorite, and I have him in third, but it's like I'm rooting for him to get out. I'm rooting for him to be out of my trifecta. And we talked about the horses with a horse like Much Better at 15-1. Obviously, Anaconda, my second pick. Now, this will sound funny. Even though Chuck Willis is my third pick, he wouldn't be in my second slot because I'm rooting for him to be off the board. And, you know, that's just how I play. So for me, it's like the one with, is how you properly say it at the window, the 3-4-6, and then with, I try not to be a complete knucklehead. You obviously have to take the 3-4-6 with you into the show spot. It's not a rule, but it makes the most sense. And I'm going to add the 4, and I am going to add the 10. Because unless you're trying to throw a cigar out of the mix like a dummy, you can still get a $200 trifecta, maybe. Yeah, man, it's probably a little high. Maybe an $80 trifecta.
So you've got 1/3, 4/6. Give the
last. Oh, 1/3, 5/6, not the 4. 3/5/6.
Oh, okay. 1/3, 5/6.
And then
You throw the 3/4, 5/6.
So Okay. Basically what I'm adding is the 4 and the 10 in the bottom. And this is just a bet that I just wheel through. Now, you know, I know we got Joe and on to keep him waiting, but that's really where I am, and I kind of walked everybody through the financial end that, you know, you have a 40. You know, I always say this. I never wince when a horse that's like 580 goes by and I don't have them. I'm like, but a horse goes by at $14, and then I would wince, and it upsets your equilibrium. So, and if you're right about the winner, you got to get paid, and it covers the shot you took.
No, I like that pyramid structure.
Yes.
All right. There's an idea in the 8th today. Good luck with that.
Thank you.
Thanks for sticking around a little bit and
filling
our first slot here. But now our second slot, Joe Clancy in the house. We'll talk a little racing and review and preview and what's coming up in the Saratoga Special a little bit later on. Mike Rapoli. Stay tuned. Racing Across America continues.
For 4 generations and looking forward to a 5th, Bruce Cerrone and his family have continued their 99-year tradition of delighting their faithful following with the finest authentic Italian recipes made with the freshest ingredients. Some things have changed in the last 99 years, but not Pinnell's commitment to the finest in Italian cuisine. Pinnell's Italian Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922, 284 Jefferson Street, just minutes from the track.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Hello everyone, I'm Scott Vartley and I'm here at the West Condominiums in Saratoga Springs. And guess what? We are down to the home stretch. Everything is 2 bedrooms and 2 baths. Come make a selection in one of the greatest condos ever to be built in Saratoga Springs. We're starting in the upper fives and the only rooftop penthouse available now under construction. Wow, just look at this patio. We have a rooftop pool, heated garage, balconies, and a gym. Call me at 518-281-6808.
Very into it, yeah.
Oh, welcome back to Racing Across America. Dino, just so you know, I did not hear you in my ear that time. So once again, the earpiece is a little bit dicey, but we are back Racing Across America, joined now by Joe Clancy from the Saratoga Special. Joe, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Happy to have you on. Second time this week. I pinch hit for Vic, and you were on the radio there.
Is he back from his whirlwind vacation or whatever you want to call it?
The
research project?
He's got the horses, the
crabs,
and
the, I don't know. I want his life for a couple days. Sounds good, you know?
Exactly. And he has tried to transfer his wardrobe to me, so by proxy, I do have it. I get the box of ties every year. But on the radio, we talked about the jump race in preview. Let's take a little look now in review. Going back to Wednesday, race number one, it is Freddie Flinscher. Story, because Parker Hendricks is, you know, we talked about him on the radio. He's on the jump side of things, really an up-and-coming young guy, and it was kind of fun afterwards on the Fox show. He was interviewed by his sister, given what he had done here, winning a nice stakes race, and he was clearly kind of emotional, and you can see he gives it a fist pump and winning a race at Saratoga with these connections and whatnot. So again, second week in a row, I think it was a fun story.
Yeah, for sure. 18-year-old kid just graduated high school, and you know, winning a race at Saratoga certainly matters. And yeah, he's off to a great start. I mean, his spring was really good, and it's kind of just rolled on through the summer, and that horse was really good. We talked, and I thought that race was wide open, really competitive. Any of the bunch could win, and he kind of just ran away from it. You know, it's like he jumped into the race at the quarter pole. It was like, I got fresh legs, and nobody else did. I love the – I say it all the time. These are – the steeplechasers are thoroughbred horses. They cross over from flat racing. He was with Brendan Walsh and Qatar Racing, and he couldn't win. He was a maiden on the flat, you know, and cut out to be a nice horse. And the extra – mile and jumps and just a change in scenery, I guess. But he's done very well as a jumper, and to me it just shows that horses can go do this. And,
yeah, second win in four starts over the jumps, and Carrie Bryan training the former Jonathan Shepherd assistant, so she gets her first win at the meet. We've talked about it a little bit with you. Boy, the jumpers, the jump side, they are a stout group over this last few weeks as they're bouncing back and forth between here and Colonial.
Yeah, that crew, Parker, especially this week, Colonial got backed up a day. So they ran at Colonial on Tuesday, and there were three of them in the car, and they just took turns driving from Colonial to Saratoga. It's 17-ish hours, I think it is, but no thank you. Sounds terrible.
Speaking of that, it was Wednesday, I think, they had the Colonial Cup on Wednesday, and Snap Decision was in there as a super talented jump horse, but went in the flat stake at Colonial. Man, decent third.
Yeah, they had to be really happy with that. And you know, he's kind of unlucky to not be second. He sort of had just idle behind horses on the inside coming off the turn. He probably wasn't going to beat the winner. He was pretty clear, but was probably going to be second if he got through a little sooner. And Jack Fisher had told us who he kind of just wanted to work. He wanted to sharpen him up for the Jonathan Shepherd here. And I did get somebody to look it up. He ran an 89 Beyer, which is the same speed figure he ran 4 years ago. So,
that's
pretty cool, right? So, you know, that was his last flat race was 2018, and 89. I think his career high is a 90. So he's still got it, you know, which is again a testament and a tribute to a cool horse. I mean, and he's in there swinging, you know, against some pretty stout distance turf horses. And Jack made a little joke: if he didn't really like the weights for the Shepherd, he might come back into John's call instead. So you know, you never know.
I like that. And that was the reason they didn't come to the Smithwick, right? They were worried about the weight.
Yeah, the races up here are both handicaps, and the third in the series back at Aqueduct this year is a handicap, and it's mostly to try to ensure a little bigger field and to make people take some chances, not really chances, but to enter horses against some of those heavy, really talented horses who are going to get the higher weights. So if you're Jack Fisher, if he wins the Smithwick, he was going to carry top weight there and give away probably 20 pounds to at least some of them. Well, then he's going to come back in either of the next two and get that much more. So I think that's the idea. Now he can run the Shepherd, and then it'll be interesting to see what he does in the September one. And then the big one is in October at Far Hills in New Jersey, and that's weight for age, so the kind of pressure off on a horse like that comes.
Yeah, looking forward. He is a really talented jumper. Snap. Do you know, are we going to see the Mean Queen?
She's probably not going to make, doesn't sound like she's going to make Saratoga, but they're, again, trying to make that either that September race at Aqueduct and the Far Hills race. And there's also a race at the end of the meet at Colonial for Phillies and Mares that she would be, you know, heavy, heavy favorite.
Yeah, because last year she was spectacular as well. So I wanted to get some thoughts also. We'll watch the replays. And of course, you can follow the coverage of all the racing in the Saratoga Special. Go to thisishorseracing.com online. If you're not in the area, you can pick it up at the track or around town, but you can also catch it online. And so I'm sure you had great coverage of the stakes action that was as enthusiastic as the racing fans were here on the weekend. First, we'll look at the Coaching Club American Oaks. I'll get thoughts from Mike Rapoli when he stops by in a little bit. But from the racing public, Nest, Secret Oath, Nest runs away in what was at least one of what will be the wow performances of the meet.
Yeah, you're going to have a hard time topping that, that's for sure. She's going to be in the conversation, I think, all the way through. Even if it did happen early, that's going to be in the conversation all the way through with best performances. And, yeah, she sort of, fired a little bit of a warning shot at the three-year-old fillies and said, I'm this good.
And you would think both of these horses had the chance to insert themselves in the conversation as being at the leader of the division, with both Secret Oath winning the Kentucky Oaks, Nest winning the Ashland, now stringing a couple of great ones together. It's going to be interesting to see what D. Wayne decides to do with Secret Oath off of, an open-length defeat here. But the Alabama, another grade one. We'll see if Nest can put that one on the resume. But if Secret Oath comes back and wins that, again, with the Kentucky Oaks, then the division becomes interesting. But certainly at this point, I think with the two grade ones, Nest is kind of...
And that race into Belmont, that was really good. She's tough, and I think talking to some trainers over the weekend, maybe they're not excuses, but they were a little, concerned if a horse ran dull, maybe they didn't handle the heat. So maybe and that's something that I know that's what Todd Fletcher said about Malathot a little bit. He wasn't sure, but maybe that was a reason that she wasn't quite as good as she can be. And maybe that's the same kind of thing with Secret Oath, and you try to come back another day and see what happens.
Speaking of that, on Sunday it was the Shoe V. We'll watch the stretch run there because it is Clearier and Malathot, who have faced off a number of times. They have a nice little rivalry going. I've liked Clearier for a long time now, so I tilted in her favor. So I was perfectly happy with the results. Second price on the board at 5-1 as Malathot went off at 3-5. As you say, Fletcher after the race thought Malathot maybe was affected a little bit by the heat, looked a little dull in the paddock. For looking dull, this was still a pretty good performance for Malathot, but Clearier looked great.
Yeah, you couldn't be disappointed in Malathot, but I think they know how good she is, and they think she's got a little more in her. For whatever reason, she was a little, for her, dull. But again, for her, I don't think you wouldn't take much away from her. And Clearier was really good and tough, and as Steve said, she's just kind of improved all along. It was fun talking to John Moynihan with Stone Street. Those two fillies, they bred both of them. And I asked, were they ever in the same field together? And he said, definitely, at some point. We don't have it documented, but I'm sure they were in the same field at some point. They're born 10 days apart on the same farm in Kentucky. Here they are. That was their sixth matchup, I think,
something
like that on the racetrack.
Which is
really cool.
In this day and age, that's fun.
That's fun, yeah.
All right, that was a little review now, a little preview. Saturday, a couple of nice stakes up here with a superstar on the sprint side, and maybe adding a little definition to the three-year-old scene in the next race. But the superstar on the sprint side comes in the A.G. Vanderbilt Grade 1 event, $350,000, three-quarters of a mile, Jackie's Warrior. And I did a podcast last night, and we were talking about this, and the three other guys I was on with were all kind of like, Jackie's Warrior. There was an outsider, though, who thought Willie Boy was a little bit intriguing if you wanted to play around. And certainly that will blow up your picks if you can do that. I thought New York Traffic on a best effort may be a little bit interesting, but it really looks like it goes through Jackie's Warrior. But I did know it's the A.G. Vanderbilt handicap, 127. You don't see that too often, so we'll have to overcome that. But Jackie's Warrior just has been spectacular so far, including the 4-for-4 record up here. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know how. I mean, again, I think you're probably going to have to hope he has an off day a little bit. And there's some quality horses in there who can run good races. They certainly haven't quite run the races he's run, and he's just so good. I don't know. And we had a lot of fun covering him last year, and here he is again. I don't know how. There's no such thing as a sure thing. Say that right now. But, you know, I think he's going to be very tough. And he just has held that form. And I think that's a tribute to the horse. And, again, you hear the Asmussen team talk about their horses. And when they've got one like that, they talk about how they handle it. And they keep coming back with that A effort. And you really have to admire them for that because, you know, you never know if it's going to happen or not. And he's certainly done it.
Yeah, he has been loaded the past few years with solid sprinters, and this just adds to that resume. A little bit later on Saturday, the Jim Dandy Grade 2 event after the Haskell last week in Cyberknife winning. You know, Arkansas Derby, Haskell, Cyberknife now inserts himself into the conversation, but I don't think anybody has wrestled real control. Folks are still thinking Epicenter really solid despite the second-place finish. Second place in the Derby and the Preakness. I tilted towards early voting, though. Off of the Preakness, I just thought, you know, lightly raced. I like the fact that they skipped the Derby, give the horse a little more time. I think there may still be some upside there. But, boy, those two, to me, I could have gone either direction. I tilted slightly towards early voting. Zandon in here, Tawny Port. What are your thoughts on the Jim Dandy?
Yeah, I'm with you. I would probably lean toward early voting. I was really impressed with his Preakness, and I think, again, he can move forward off of that just because he hasn't run that much. And I like that he's kind of tactical, too. Everybody kind of thought he might be on the lead in the Preakness, but he was in the race. He doesn't have to be on the lead. He's in the race, though, you know, and he does it, and I think that's important. Epicenter, to me, he always runs that good race, and he's probably he's the most consistent three-year-old of the group. He seems to fire it every time, and you know, maybe again, if there's as Steve said about Clairiere, incremental improvement. If there's incremental improvement in there, he's not that far off winning any of these things. So, you know, a win by him, he's probably going to leapfrog some of these horses because his performances, even when he doesn't win, are so good.
Yeah, it's interesting in that, again, that three-year-old division is undefined, and I have said for a while now I think the summer will help. We will see how that works out, but I think this is a race that could help that a little bit. Just update us, Saratoga Special, again, what is the schedule, and also update us the last issue, the upcoming issue, what are the stable tours?
Stable tour, I've got one I did yesterday with Tom Amos, so that'll be in Saturday. And the publishing schedule is Wednesday, Saturday, so we've got one tomorrow that'll preview everything and sort of catch up from this week, the Honorable Miss and a couple of the other races. And then I don't think we have another stable tour in the can, so we got to get to work. Tom Law likes to say anvil lifted. The stable tour is an anvil, and somebody has to lift it every day.
Did Donk, Dave Donk?
Yes, that was fun. Yeah. Great. And he's off to a good start at the meet. Got a lot of nice horses. He's got a... Fingal's Cave is a she looks like a nice filly, and kind of good to see, and one that's doing some work on the dirt, which again, Dave gets a reputation as a turf trainer, but I think he can train any horse, and it's all kind of fun. The Tom Amos one was, he's in the old Pat Kelly barn back there in the trees, and it's just a cool scene back there. Really cool.
Highly recommended. Pick up the hard copy or go by thisishorseracing.com. You can archive. And don't forget, the handicappers are available every day. You have a good crew of handicappers as well. They're doing very well. That's Sherpazian on the radio.
I love to hear it. You got them out there. The picks are on.
I can't get them here.
Good for radio. They're on the website every day. The paper's Wednesday, Saturday, and then we'll run every day during sales week. But the picks are on the website every day.
So. Very good. Joe, appreciate the visit. Again, pick up the Saratoga Special Around Track, Around Town, or thisishorseracing.com. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, taped a piece with John Velasquez yesterday at the Jocks Room. I'll come back and introduce that and more. Mike Rapoli a little later. Stay tuned.
Set now for the juvenile fillies turf. 14 of them across the track. Leaders sent on their way. And of the dance on the outside. Broke a little sideways with Bro KK, but meanwhile it's going to be stopped. But running on now, and Somali Lemonade's got eight to make up. They come to the top of the lane. Stop shopping. Maria's got a lot left. Stop shopping. Maria goes on. Sweet Cat is right there. Hard not to like. Royal Body is running on. Past the eight ball, they come. Stop shopping. Maria for the run. Still under a hand ride as they come to the 16th. Stephanie's Kitten coming out late. Here's Stephanie's Kitten coming fast. Stephanie's Kitten. Stop.
Diego. Watched the chances, broke smartly, but so did Terra from the Cape. On the inside, Sky Lantern the Grey going well. If he can get through, can get through. Sky Lantern the Grey looking for somewhere to run. Wide, wide open. It's Terra from the Cape hanging on. Terra from the Cape tries to go all the way. On the outside now, here comes Flotilla in the light blue. Flotilla is absolutely flying. Watch the chances in there too. But Flotilla has gone right on by. And Flotilla is coming home to score. Flotilla has won it just about two in the end. It'll be Watch the Chances, Summer of Fun, coming on to finish there.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As stated before, yesterday I went over to the jocks room and caught up with John Velasquez. He's a board member for the Jockeys Guild. Obviously, the jockeys all are very supportive of the PDJF, Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund. It's a great racing-related charity. Keep it in mind, and if you get a chance during the meet to donate, one of those chances will come tomorrow. There's an autograph session out by the jockeys room, 11:30 to 12:30. That'll give you a chance to donate to PDJF. Sunday night across the street at the Harness Track, they will have the karaoke night. That's always a lot of fun as well. And we talked about those events with John. We also talked about he has a horse today, Make It Big in the Curlin. We hit on that. Tomorrow he has Country Grammar out at Del Mar in the San Diego, a prep for the Dubai World Cup. He won a stake early in the meet on Empress Tigress. So we hit on all of that. Jock's Room yesterday with John Velasquez. That's up next.
Talk a little bit about the organization. What's the mission of PDJF?
Well, the mission is always keep the awareness that, you know, it's 2022. We don't have guaranteed funding for the girls and guys who get hurt in the racetrack. And very important that we keep it, you know, the awareness and continue the racing fund so we can help those guys and the families, really. Some of them got hurt really early and not having any income, not having any social security or anything. So this is the only way they can have some sort of help, to survive, basically. So this is a great organization. They really does a lot for those guys and whatever they need to fix their homes, cars, ramps, and all the medication and stuff that you know they are need month through month. So yeah, very important.
So there are some events coming up. Let's push those events a little bit. And one of them is Saturday right here at the race course. Folks want to come out and get some memorabilia signed. They can do that. All the jockeys will be available. Talk a little about Saturday.
Absolutely. You know, every Disabled Jockeys Week, we call it. You know, we have here at Saratoga, you know, we have to sign an autograph and, you know, with donations. And we can sign all kind of memorabilia, whatever they want. So come Saturday, definitely, and enjoy a little bit with all the jockeys, you know, sign in. I think it's between 11:30 to 12:30.
And it's right up by the jockey
Sales. Outside the jockey Sales, that's right.
Very good. Also coming up Sunday night, an event that everybody looks forward to, the karaoke night across the street at the Harness Track. It's now become kind of an East Coast, West Coast battle. It'll be streaming live. Talk a little bit about karaoke.
It is. It's an event that we do really look forward to. I mean, a lot of people look forward to as well. It's funny. Obviously, we're not very good singers, but we put a good show. It's a fun event. And we try our best, you know. We try to make it fun and try to make the best possible, you know, that so people enjoy it. And it's a lot of fun. People who come in really, really get to enjoy it. So come in and support it because it's the night that we really have. You know, you can see that we come out of our shells to do something that we're not used to it, obviously. But it's a lot of fun. So I hope that people continue, you know, supporting it and come out and enjoy it.
And from what I read, you and your wife were the winners a couple, three years.
We the last one, obviously, before the pandemic, that obviously we haven't done a karaoke because of the pandemic. We're back again, but we were the winner in the last event. Unfortunately, we're not going to be singing this this event. So my wife's going to be in California, and I'm in the middle that I'm going to be back here or not. So, but if I'm here, I'll go to the event and participate in the best that I can.
Yeah, always a lot of fun, and as I say, a little battle, and people can watch on Facebook or go over and donate and go to the Harness Trek.
Yeah, and going back to, so like you say, it's like, and remember, and then the following week will be the West Coast event, so they're kind of the rivalry type of thing to do and make it fun to see who wins between the East Coast and the West.
Fans get the vote, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Also, as I came back here in the jockey's room, you and some of the other jocks were signing some bottles. There's an event coming up on August 5th, Friday, August 5th, Casa Amigos, Jockeys and Horses, benefiting also PDGF and the TRF.
Absolutely.
Talk
and the
a little
TRF.
Bit about that and yeah. the autograph session.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the TRF get benefit from the Casa Amigos, you know, event. And I need to mention the whole crew have done a great job in planning this thing, this event here in Saratoga. I think this is only the second event. But it's very dear to our hearts, both the horses and PDGF as well. So, you know, anything that we can do to continue the awareness and that we are helping our industry within ourselves is important.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, so those are three nice events coming up that will allow fans to interact with the jockeys, have some fun, and donate as well. I want to talk a little bit about you first. Talk a little bit about this winter. This winter, speaking of Southern California, you were out there. Seemed like you had a pretty good season out there. Reflect and review the Southern California
winter.
Yeah, I was
very, very blessed and fortunate that, you know, I was invited to go over there, and everything went really, really well. Got to ride for a lot of people, to read Buffett, John Charles, and you know, for all of them. I mean, I really got to get a lot of support from all those guys going out there, which I was a little bit, you know, because I've never been in California for a winter, though, or for a whole season, if you will. And, you know, sometimes you get a little nervous because they have their own jockeys and stuff like that. And for a guy coming from from the East Coast going to the West Coast, and kind of a little iffy. But I had a lot of great support from Mike McCarthy, you know, and the rest of the guys. I mean, they were really good. I said to, you know, everyone, top trainers, tried to give me opportunity and give me a win, at least a winner. I go to like, okay, I know you got your jockeys, but you got to just at least one winner. So, and it worked out good. So I think I did very well for all the guys that gave me the opportunity. So very nice.
Nope.
I went a little cold in the end, obviously, with the passing of my mother-in-law. So I was more in New York than I was in California. But, you know, overall, it was a great winter.
Tell me, just from a lifestyle perspective, is it different up there in Southern California?
You know, I didn't think I was going to like it there, because then again, I never lived there. We lived very close to the racetrack. We were in Monrovia, and we got in and very late when we went over there. We didn't even have an apartment or a house, nothing secure. So we got an apartment in Monrovia, and pretty street, and all the restaurants and the movie theater and everything was very close, and my wife wanted to be there, and she enjoyed it. I enjoyed it, obviously. I mean, riding good horses doesn't help anything, but, you know, living close to the racetrack, it helped a lot for me. So I'm not a guy who likes to be traveling and driving long distances, but living there very close to Santa Anita, it helped. So it was very nice. That's actually, we did enjoy it. Then we brought my father-in-law in with us. He loved it, you know, he can't wait to go back.
And they're off. From the outside, Empress Tigress is going out for the early lead. And Mystic Eyes is now coming on through. Down on the inside, it is Artos. Mystic Eyes has the lead with Empress Tigress on the outside in second, and Artos next in third. Then comes Lady Scarlet, who's racing in fourth, Static Fire in fifth, and right alongside is Derinane. And then we come back to Poppy Flower, and farther back is Sweet Salade. The quarter went in 21 3/5 seconds. It is Mystic Eyes leading by a half length. Empress Tigress on the outside, right there in second. Just in behind is Artos, who's down towards the rail. Then comes Lady Scarlet. Static Fire is forced widest of all. As the field comes into the stretch now, it is Empress Tigress who has the lead here. Static Fire on the far outside. Now moving up is Poppy Flower. Empress Tigress trying to hold off Poppy Flower here. They're coming on for the finish. Empress Tigress and Poppy Flower. Empress Tigress. She's only run twice, but she is now 2 for 2. The three-year-old filly captures the Coronation Cup.
Talk about Saratoga, return to Saratoga. You had a nice stakes win early in the meet. I'm just curious your thoughts on Empress Tigress. She won the Coronation Cup and did it in fine fashion. 2 for 2 now for Jonathan Thomas
nice.
And Augustine.
She ran first time out in Woodbine and Jonathan had told me, it's like, she's going to be very fast, Johnny. So, you know, I would just want to make sure that, you know, I watched her replay and everything, that I didn't overdo it. Sure enough, man, she freaking gate open, and she was shoot out of there very quickly. So I wanted to save it a little bit, and especially knowing that Jose Ortiz horse, you know, had watched it run the last time, so I got to save some for the end, and it worked out very good, obviously. Very nice horse for her to just run one race, come back here with a tougher group that she was running in Woodbine. Very nice horse.
Coming up, you know, that's a review. Let's do a little preview coming up on Friday afternoon in the Curlin. You have Make It Big for Todd, brand new in Todd's barn, brand new to you. How do you handle when you jump on board a brand new horse like that?
You know, the same thing. I mean, I'm very used to this, and we do this a lot, and especially for me, you know, it's like it basically do the homework, see what, you know, the competition look like, what this is, what his best races are, and see how to accommodate something like that. The way the horse would like to be ridden. Basically, watch the competition, obviously, talk to Todd, and then we go from there. You know, we watch the races during the day and see if anything changes. You got to accommodate that as well. Yeah, it's just a lot of homework, really. And I'm old enough that I have to say I'm very comfortable to do this for any horse that they'll throw at me anyway.
And you're going to jump on board a new horse for you on Saturday. You're going to be out at Del Mar, prep for the Pacific Classic with the Dubai World Cup winner for Bob Baffert.
Now gets asked a question, but he's kicked two lengths clear of Midnight Bourbon, who's second. Country Grammar third. Hot Rod Charlie's towards the inside rail. Then comes Chua Wizard, 200 meters out. Life is Good is the leader. Country Grammar second. Hot Rod Charlie continues to gain ground towards the inside. Life is Good with a target on his back. Country Grammar getting the upper hand, draws alongside, and Country Grammar with his date with Destiny in front a length and a half. Country Grammar won the Dubai World Cup.
Country Grammar, thoughts on that?
Again, I mean, he's just never ridden the horse. I've watched him race many times, so I see the style of running. I gotta do my homework and see how the competition looks. I haven't really gone through the race at all. But yeah, a good horse. I mean, obviously, he's been really good. I mean, I went into the Dubai World Cup. He was second in the Saudi Cup. So he's been knocking on the door and running really well since Bob has him. So hopefully we can do that. And hopefully the trip didn't really, those trip, you know, being so long out in the Middle East, didn't knock him down. And hopefully he can come back and run the same way he ran the Dubai World Cup.
Well, we wish you a lot of good luck out there. Good luck on Friday as well. Good luck the remainder of the meet. We appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
And I hope everybody turns out for the PDJF events, because it's a great organization.
I really appreciate that you actually still, you know, helping us out, you know, with awareness of the PDJF and the TRF as well. It's the organizations that we are taking care of ourselves. Our own needs are important for all of us to do our part. But thank you.
Again, thanks and good luck to John Velasquez. He's got the runner today in the Curlin, and other runners, but he has Make It Big in the Curlin. And then tomorrow, Country Grammar in the San Diego. And, of course, in San Diego, again, a prep for the Pacific Classic. Country Grammar coming out of the win in the Dubai World Cup. We'll see how he does on the return, as it were. And, again, don't forget, it'd be a lot of fun. Last week, it was the Lust Garden Foundation. You got a full array of trainers out by the Jock Silks room to sign memorabilia. And tomorrow you get to do it on the jockey side to benefit the PDJF. 11:30 to 12:30 out by the Jockey Silks room. I'm trying to think of how to explain it. It's one of those things you can ask people who work at the track. They'll point you in the right direction if you're not familiar with where that is. But there'll be a lineup of all the jocks, and bring your memorabilia and you can get it signed tomorrow. Make a donation to the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund. You will feel good having done that. Don't forget Sunday night jockey karaoke. If you come, that's great. It's a lot of fun. It's a few laughs. If you can't come, go to the Jockey Guild website, or probably Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund as well. But I know on the Jockeys Guild website, they link to Facebook page that will be streaming live. So the Saratoga event gets streamed live next week out at Del Mar. Karaoke from the Southern California Jockeys gets streamed live. And you, the fan, get to vote for the winners. So East Coast versus West Coast. Come on, we got to root for the home team. Again, you can watch that. If you can't make it up here, watch live. And don't forget, if you do that, also toss in a donation to the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund. So again, oh, and the Casa Amigos event should be fun too, as they put in the the piece when I was back there yesterday. Jose Ortiz was signing some bottles, and John was signing some bottles. So you get, I don't know how many people, but most of the Saratoga Jockey Colony will have an autograph on the Casa Amigos bottle. So you can purchase one of those as well at that event coming up next Friday, I believe it is, down at the Adelphi. That should be fun as well. So keep that in mind. Talked about it on the handicapping show earlier, but it is news worth noting. Belmont Park Fall Meet will be held at Aqueduct this year. There's a construction will be happening with tunnels that will, you know, go under the main track and the turf course. That's going to allow Belmont to open up the infield to fans and events and whatnot. So should be a really nice improvement to the racetrack and the fan experience and whatnot. But obviously, something of that major nature will, you know, require the closure of Belmont Park. So the fall meet at Belmont will be held over at Aqueduct. That means it's going to be one long Aqueduct meet with, you know, encompassing the regular Aqueduct meet and the Belmont meet as well. Big A is going to offer 41 stakes worth $9.9 million that normally would be over on the Belmont side of things. But it's, again, as I say, a major improvement happening at Belmont that will preclude racing there. So when they leave Saratoga, there'll be that normal little break, and then they'll pop down to the Big A. 28-day Belmont meet that begins on September 15th after we close here. It'll run through Sunday, October 30th. But again, it will be at Aqueduct. There's going to be four Grade 1 races. There's four winning your in qualifiers to the Breeders' Cup. 23 graded stakes. 41 stakes overall, again, $9.9 million in purses at the Belmont at Aqueduct meet coming up again after we wrap things up here at Saratoga. And again, there'll be that little break, but they'll kick back in on September 15th at the Big A in place of Belmont. And then when Belmont opens up, it'll be fun to see. You know, with the tunnel, I would expect they will take full advantage of the infield down at Belmont. And I remember years and years ago enjoying the infield here at Saratoga. We've talked about it before. It's hard to believe now, but they used to have a wooden platform over the turf course, so folks weren't stomping on the turf course. But that, of course, meant on those days there were no turf. There was no turf racing. So the infield was opened up on weekends here, and it was fun. But there was no turf racing, so they obviously, with turf racing being what it is, you don't want to do that type of a situation, hence the tunnel. But again, just relating experiences I had years ago, the infield here at Saratoga was a lot of fun. I think at Belmont, I think there's going to be a certain fan base that will find that very attractive to head to the infield and enjoy races out there, a different perspective. But I'm sure all the amenities will be out there. And given the size of Belmont, you will be able to stretch out on the infield at Belmont Park. So looking forward to seeing how that all shakes out with the new and improved Belmont Park, as it were. Current jockey standings after the Thursday program. Irod Ortiz still in the lead. He has 16 winners, tied with 12. It's Joel Rosario and Luis Saez. On the trainer side of things, Chad Brown and Todd Pletcher both with 10. Mike Maker with 7. Christophe Clement with 5. So familiar names around, and it's going to be interesting to see how the trainer battle continues here. You know, we are fairly light into the meet as it is, when 11 days in at this point, and it's tied between Chad Brown and Todd Pletcher. And again, it's always fun to watch the jockeys battle, but Irod Ortiz is kind of running very well right now. So there's our standings on the human side of things. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Mike Rapoli will join us. Stay tuned. Racing Across America continues.
Thank you.
four generations and looking forward to a fifth, Bruce Cerrone and his family have continued their 99-year tradition of delighting their faithful following with the finest authentic Italian recipes made with the freshest ingredients. Some things have changed in the last 99 years, but not Pennell's commitment to the finest in Italian cuisine. Pennell's Italian Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, just minutes from the track.
Come on!
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. Happy to be joined now by Mike Rapoli. Already off to a big meet so far, but a lot of nice runners ahead as well. We'll hit on that much more. Mike, good morning.
Hey, Seth. Good morning.
Happy to have you on board. And reiterate, we were just laughing. You were tossing out the Uncle Mo story a little bit and how you wound up with a nice horse and wound up to be a nice sire as well.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes when you're bidding, you're not sure if you want the horse or don't want the horse. So, Jimmy Krupe, who passed away, God rest his soul, and Jim Martin, my racing manager, said, I need to have a horse in the sale. They gave me the number. I turned the page. It's an Indian Charlie. 2 years before that, I bought an Indian Charlie for $350, and I think he won a maiden 25 up here at Saratoga. So disappointed. But, you know, Jimmy Krupe, Mike, you got to have this horse. He only told me that maybe 50 times. 49 times, I think, they ran for maiden 25. But Jimmy had a great eye for horses. I said, listen, I'll bid up to $200. I was on the phone, got stuck at 200, and I was praying that somebody, please, somebody bid 210. Just get me out of here, get me out of here. Somebody bids 210. Jim Martin says, Mike, hit him one more time, hit him one more time. I thought he meant either him or Krupe, hit him one more time. But I did a 220, and then I remember we got him at 220. I got off the phone. I'm like, I just wasted $220,000, and it turned out pretty good, by the way.
It turned out very good. Serendipity sometimes works out. Talk a little bit about, again, we're going to take a look at some of these races that you've won already and preview as well. But, you know, Ness, for instance, trained by Todd Pletcher. I know you and Todd have been a team for a long time. Talk a little bit about how you guys matched up and how you've been such a longstanding partnership.
You know, it really started, people don't know this, is I started the game in 2005, and I started really slow. You know, you can learn this game with $500,000 yearlings, or you can learn this game with $20,000 claimers. Way cheaper to go to the claiming ground. So for about 4 or 5 years, I started very slow, bought a couple $100,000 horses, $200,000 horses, and honestly, I just got tired of watching my horses in the same race as Todd and watching me sit in my seats and him walk to the winner's circle. So if you can't beat him, you got to join him. And many people won't know this, in 2009, it has to be a record. I shouldn't be saying it right now. I was 0 for 36 as an owner in this meet. I don't think it's possible to go 0 for 36. I don't think any owners did it, because who would run 36 horses here? So I go 0 for 36, and I have two choices. Either I'm going to change everything about my stable, or I'm going to get out of this game. And I've had a couple dinners with Todd in 07, 08, 09 in September. We had a dinner, and I made the decision to move over in 09. It's now our 14th year together, and the rest is history. And the next 3 years, 10, 11, 12, not only did I get wins, I won the owner's title in 2010, 11, and 12.
Yeah, very good. And you talked about playing the claiming game early, and you now play at the highest level of the game, as we'll see with some of these horses. But I do a handicapping show the rest of the year in the afternoon down in our studio in Albany, and I see your name popping up with the claiming horses. You like the action.
Listen, I still – you know, I'll watch a maiden five at Finger Lakes on a homebred, and I'll watch Nest win the Grade One Coaching Club. I mean, I love the sport. I love the action. I love winning. I love competing. You know, Rudy Rodriguez does a great job for me. I've had a couple horses with Bruce. I've had horses with Mike Maselli. You know, Jeremiah. I mean, it's just fun. I just love the game.
You talk about loving the game, and as I was reading some bio material last night, I laughed at this. I mean, we're Capital OTB, so I love this. One of your first horses, Run to Grand Avenue, named after the OTB you went to.
So growing up, after school, I had to go hit the late double. So I get off the school bus, and I'd run to Grand Avenue, which was probably from the weather. School bus let me off probably about a 3/4 of a mile, or we can say 6 furlongs. And we go to OTB, and I was probably 15, 16 years old. This is when OTB didn't even show the races.
Yeah, yeah.
You just had to listen to it. And, you know, and then you just picture it in your mind and listen to the race. And, you know, I just fell in love with handicapping. I really fell in love with how to handicap and things like that. So a lot of fun for me.
I did some of that early OTB where I was a little underage, and you'd find the teller you could work with a little bit.
Or an old man that would take 10% of your bet and put your bets in for you.
Were the downstate OTBs, were you doing the letters instead of the numbers? Because up here it would be like the BAD triple.
Yeah, I think it started with the letters, and then eventually it went to the numbers and all like that, but it was a lot of fun.
All right, let's go and catch some of the action that you've had already and what has so far been a very nice meet. And let's take a look... going back to the Coaching Club American Oaks last week, we'll watch the replay. It'll be Nest over Secret Oath. Nest, who had won the Ashland, Secret Oath, who had won the Kentucky Oaks. They both had run second against the boys subsequently. But I said it, we showed this a little earlier with Joe Clancy, and I said, you know, when the meet ends, this is going to be, if not the, certainly amongst the top two or three wow moments of the meet, a 104 buyer. Talk about Nest and the Coaching Club.
You know, I mean, you know, listen, you always want to see a horse win, and then you're happy for the jockey, you're happy for Todd, and you're happy for the horse. But, you know, this horse won the Ashland by 7.5, 8 lengths, ran in the Oaks, ran a second, but ran a winning race and just got caught inside. Then goes to the Belmont, and I run her against the boys, and again gets caught inside, makes a nice run, and comes second again. That one I didn't mind so much because came second to a horse that I owned, so that was okay. But, you know, very few times, Seth, have I been in a race where I just hope the horse wins for the horse. And not only did she win, she won by 12.5 lengths and 104, 130. I think the time form might have been better than all the colts this year, too. And, you know what, I honestly just felt so good for her and so happy. And, you know, we've been visiting her all day with my daughter Joy at the farm and at the barn. And she's such a sweet horse. And she galloped today for the first time. Unbelievable, energetic, enthusiastic. She looks great. She eats up. She gains weight. She's getting better, man. She's getting better. And she's a curling. And you know what? Her best thought's going to be her next thought. Her best thought after that's going to be her next thought. So she's an awesome filly, a special filly. And I think she's got a shot to be, you know, one that we remember for a long, long time.
Well, you know, give us the update on what you may be thinking. What is next, Alabama or... do we try the boys at the Travers?
You know, it's I'm so blessed because I got to win the Alabama in 2014 with Stop Charging Brea, and I got to win the Travers in 2011. So, you know, to win races like this at Saratoga, I mean, being a kid from Queens, I never even had a car that was able to get to Saratoga. So I went to Aqueduct in Belmont, but I never had a car in my 20s that could even make it halfway up. I mean, my 91 Buick Skylark never could make it up here, and... you know, and now to win these, to be in these races, you know, to be on the show, you know, I mean, so listen, I everybody knows that I'm a major competitor and I love to win. I also like to do things for the fans. Part of it is putting her in the Belmont was make the Belmont a big story, but you have to do what's right for the horse. I think there's no doubt that if she ran in the Travers, she'd be favored. You know, she might be 2-1, she might be 5-2. She would be favored. But it's 90% leaning towards the Alabama.
Well, I would say an Alabama win almost clinches an eclipse, you would think.
Yeah, you know what? She's getting pretty close right now.
I agree. I totally agree.
But it does. And, you know, she really is a special filly. And the only one thing I like better about the Travers is it's a week later.
Yeah.
Gives her 5 weeks instead of 4. But, I mean, the way she galloped today... Todd, we might enter her for next week. I mean, she really looks great right now.
She was phenomenal last week, and congratulations on that. You also had a win yesterday. Again, we were talking about this race a little bit earlier. Luis Saez had to earn his money yesterday with Fearless at the Birdstone distance of a mile and three quarters. Fearless, the number one horse. Nice late run in the stretch to get it done. And you were talking about this horse in the winner's circle afterwards, how versatile he is. This was a really nice performance, as I say, at the marathon mile and three quarters. Talk about Fearless.
You know, he's such a special horse. I mean, the only horse that I've ever owned in my life that I can compare this horse to right now is Keisha Electronica. I claimed Keisha for 62.5. She went on to win over $1 million. Fearless, I bought in a sale last July. In 1 year, she's made $800,000. I paid $200,000 for him. But what I love about this horse, very similar to Keisha, is you know, he can win at 7 furlongs. He can win at a mile. He can win a mile and eighth. And he can win a mile and a half, like the Brooklyn. And then he can win at a mile and three quarters. The one thing Todd and I talked about yesterday was, now that he went a mile and three quarters, his next start, we're going to cut him back, no matter what. So we're going to cut him back. And the only thing I told Todd we should do with him is, maybe win a steeplechase race with him. I think he can go the distance, and I think he can jump. But unbelievable guts. Listen, Luis, I sent him a text yesterday. I think he had the second best performance. I think the horse had the best one. Luis came back and said, "Oh, Mike, that was really tiring." I said, "You? What about the horse?" You know, but he, I mean, Fearless is just, whoever named him appropriately. He's a fearless horse. And, you know, I love these geldings, because I have no pressure about them.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah.
If he wins the grade one, he's worth X or Y. You know, listen, if he stays healthy and he loves what he's doing, we're going to run him for a long, long time.
Yeah, and again, he stretched out the mile and a half last time, the mile and three quarters. So, and has won a, so you have many options going forward with a horse like that, which makes it a lot of fun. All right, we mentioned Nest, and we mentioned the second place in the Belmont, but I had to show the Belmont. Mo Donegal gets it done, the number six horse, number three Nest, second. Mo Donegal, again, you bought into that one, so you are part owner of the Belmont winner. And just seeing the post-race comments and whatnot, I know this had to be, as a New York guy, very special to you. Not just a win, but running 1-2 in the race. Talk about the win going back a month and a half or so.
Yeah, you know, 6 weeks later, it's still surreal. I mean, I haven't felt like this in a while. When Uncle Mo won his Breeders' Cup Juvenile, I felt it. Like, I felt like, you know, I felt like a 13-year-old kid from Queens, you know, watching the race. And when this has always been the race that's always been my dream. I mean, it's New York's biggest race. I didn't even know what state the Kentucky Derby was as a kid, even though Kentucky's a state, I still didn't know that. And the Preakness, honestly, it wasn't big to me, but this is always the race, from Easy Goer to watching all these great horses win it, to watching Angel Cadero win it, great jockeys like that. And knowing I was at that racetrack on a regular basis, but it was so special. It's the race for New Yorkers. You know, now that I live in Florida the last 3 years, but I'm always going to be Mike from Queens. And, you know, let's click. Usually you see me very enthusiastic after a race and fired up and hugging everybody. When they crossed the wire, I just needed a moment.
It was clearly emotional.
I just had to smack myself to make sure it was real. And you know what? And then you see, because I don't know how you watch a race, Seth. When my horse gets to the front, I look at the horse. I look where the finish line is, because I want it to be as close as possible. And then I look back at the horse, and then I look to see who's coming. When I look to see who's coming, it was Nest. And I see the blue and orange going 1-2. And I sit there for 14 seconds saying, I'm going to win this race. I don't know who's going to win it with me. It's either, but I'm going to win this race. It was probably the greatest 14 seconds an owner can ever have in racing. And it was really, really special, from my mom and dad to my wife Maria to my daughter Joya. And 70
I was going to say, how many people were in the winner's circle?
70, and then Donegal Racing, Jerry Crawford, who runs a great job, and Jerry's done a great job with Donegal Racing.
A little late in the winner's circle yesterday.
You know what? It was 22 people yesterday. Yeah, a little light. Alabama was more. People are being selective on what weekends they come up here. So.
Yeah, I noticed that yesterday. Only 22 in there, but for you, that was a little bit light. Let's talk a little bit in preview now. The Curlin today, you have Be Better. I like Be Better. We're going to go back and look at the Monmouth Allowance win on Independence Day. Be Better is going to be the number two horse. Very lightly raced, but so far the two starts we've seen this year down at Monmouth, a couple of wins, the Maiden Breaker, and then this effort. Comes in, I think he's well-suited to step into the assignment in Stakes Company this afternoon. What are your thoughts on Be Better and the Curlin?
You know, we loved him last year as a two-year-old. But we know he was a big Uncle Mo. He had that one race. He lost to this maiden called, I don't know if you guys know him, Jack Christopher. Turned out to be, he lost by 10, so he said, hey, you know what, maybe he's not that. So he lost by 10, but he was actually closing really, really well at like 5.5 furlongs or 6. We put him away. We always do the right things by our horses, put him away, bring him back. Won a race at Monmouth, mile off a year layoff, second start of the life. Only Todd Pletcher can do that, by the way. You guys know how great he is. And then his last race, I mean, he ran a great rag, a great buyer, great thorough manager, great time phone number. He's going the further the better. I hope this track plays as deep as it's had this whole meet, because this horse wants 1.5 miles. And listen, this is the race where either he's going to run 100 buyer and win by 2, or he's going to run a 90 buyer and be third by 5. But today is the race. No excuses. I wouldn't be surprised if he's 5-1 in Travers, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's in a 2 other than allowance in Belmont. So today we're going to find out.
Yeah,
I like him a lot, though.
You mentioned the numbers. I'm curious. When you and Todd plan, do you use numbers, and are there a set of numbers that you consider a little more important in your use?
You know what? We always use the numbers, and I like to look at all.
Yeah, yeah.
I like to see, because sometimes they're very consistent, and sometimes one will have a bigger number than the other three, so I kind of stick with that. And Todd and I will always talk numbers. We also have a great game plan, but you know, Todd and I, we over-communicate a lot. We speak a lot. I think that's up to me, because I call Todd a lot, and we have a lot of conversations, and half the time he doesn't pick up, but I ask him a lot of questions. And you know, we also use the eye test on two things. One, the eye test when they run. Sometimes they run a low number, but they didn't have to go fast.
Yeah.
Like, you know, or they were very wide, or the pace was scenario, or the track was drying out. So we look at that. The second thing is no one that sees how a horse is training better than Todd, how a horse works, how they gallop out versus their competition. So you can tell when a horse is doing really well. Like Be Better last week had an incredible 5 furlong work. Incredible. Great. So we're expecting a big effort today, but we take all those scenarios.
Sure.
Like, you know, we thought about running Wit in the Amsterdam. We tried him on turf last week. He had a massive turf work. You know, he's going to be in the Hall of Fame.
Uh-huh.
Make sure you don't tell your viewers to bet him, but he looked great, and he's going to work tomorrow. But he loved the turf. Yeah, loved the turf. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Excellent. Let me hit on a couple more before we let you go. And I talked to you before we started when you sat down. Dynamic One, I pulled up the Suburban. He was in the nomination list for the Whitney. And as I say, coming out of this nice win in the Suburban, he'll be the number 5 horse here. What is your game plan for Dynamic One?
You know, listen, we think the further he goes, the better. You know, this was a 1.25 mile race. It was a super slow pace. He's probably the only horse that could have closed on a pace like this. You know, he reminds us a little bit of Vino Rosso. You know, a good 3-year-old. You know what? We disappointed us in the Travers. Had nothing wrong with him. Send him away. Call me back when he turns 4 years old. And he's come back and he's run 3 or 4 good races this year. You know, I think he's going to run. We're going to wait for the Jockey Gold Cup, which is at Labor Day weekend, 1.25 mile race, and let these horses beat each other up in the Whitney. We like that. And let them skip the Jockey Gold Cup. And then, you know what? If he does well there, we'll go right to the Breeders' Cup Classic. If not, we'll go find another race to win.
We've talked about it, Anthony and I, on the handicapping show before. That seems to be something that now is a thing where, you know, even 10 years ago, going from Saratoga right to the Breeders' Cup, that is now an option, whereas, as I say, 10 years ago, that was maybe a little too long.
Yeah, it's 8 weeks, and listen, it really depends on the horse. Some horses need that every 5 weeks, and that's why when you have a guy like Todd,
yeah.
He, you know, some horses gain. I mean, Nest gained weight after the Belmont. I mean, that's impossible almost, you know. So, and, you know, some horses lose, you know, 50 pounds, and they need a couple weeks before they get going. So, you know, it's really knowing the personality, knowing the horse inside and out, which Todd and his team, by the way, his team does a great, great job, do best. And then, you know, listen, I just take the information Todd gives me, and then I come up with suggestions. And if they're right, then I'll tell everyone it was my idea. If they're wrong, I'll say, I don't know why Todd did that. And we have a lot of fun with that.
2-year-olds, that's what Saratoga is all about. Let's go back to earlier in the meet. And, boy, you had a nice one. I say 2-year-old, 3. This is the first time starting 3-year-old, actually. But these first time starters are always very nice. By not this time, so there's a little breeding on top. So again, a little bit of a belated debut as a 3-year-old. But an impressive debut going back to July 21st. And again, three-year-old up to the mark. Pretty good-looking debut. Talk about this one coming out in the first start and doing this.
This horse was working last year in April, May, and June. He was beating Wit, who went on to win, you know, the Grade 2 Sanford and was second in the hopeful. And won the, I think it was the Bayshore this year. So we were probably going to enter him the race that we entered Wit. Had a little bit of an issue. Wit goes on, but this horse was beating Wit. We did the right thing. We said, you know what, we're going to treat the three-year-old like a two-year-old, and his four-year-old season will be his three-year-old season. We put him away, and this is when I'm partners with Vinny Viola, who's, you know, actually we have more fun than anything else in the partnership. Winning is second to having fun. You know, Vinny and I have the same view. Like, we're not going to, you know, we don't care about running horses at four and five. So we had Vino Rosa at four. We had Dynamic One at four. I think for Vinny and I, and obviously Todd, I think this Up to the Mark is going to be our four-year-old horse right now. And we love him, and he ran a really, really good race, 88 buyer first time out, and did it on a hand ride. I mean, nice horse.
Do you have any specific plans coming up?
Yeah, 1X. we're gonna go really slower. I don't mind being 2 to 5 and getting the winner circle. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, if you're thinking you got a nice 4-year-old coming along, that's the perfect move. And I just wanted to hit on one more because you and I were talking the other day, and I believe your first starter at Del Mar, going back to July 22nd. This is Uncontrollable, the number 6 horse, who had a trip and got up and wins by daylight. talk a little bit about the win out at Del Mar.
You know, it was funny that, you know, I bought a California bred. I mean, I don't think I've ever bought a California bred in my life. Obviously, I didn't buy it for California. But Michael McCarthy, who,
you know. When we picked it up, he was not a bettable horse.
You know, when 3 furlongs in, I would have bet 8th by 10. Then about with a furlong to go, I said, if he gets third, this is amazing. When he won by 3 and galloped out 10 in front, I said, holy, I can't use the word on this TV show, but unbelievable. And Michael McCarthy, you know, he worked with Todd for so long. I know him for a long, long time, doing a great job out there, still talks to Todd. And, you know, to bring a California bird out there, win opening day at Del Mar. And it's pretty funny. I had 5 horses in Saratoga that day. I go 0-for-5. But I go 1-for-1 in Del Mar. I was in the wrong track, you know, and stuff like that. So, but we got a bunch of good 2-year-olds, Gun Runners, Intermischiefs, Curlins, Uncle Moe's. So you're not seeing the speedy, you know, Viola, Rapoli 2-year-olds. But you know, we're looking for later the year horses. We're looking for classic horses, and we'll unleash some at the end of the meet, 6-7 furlongs. And get him ready. Maybe for the Champagne and Breeders' Cup. Forte ran a sneaky good race in the Sanford.
I was going to ask you about
sneaky good race. Yeah.
And you had a little, you know, consolation in it that the winner was an Uncle.
Well, it was an Uncle Moe. Moe strike. Yeah. Yeah. That's not much of a consolation.
I said a little.
Uncle Moe's got so many winners. We don't need consolation prizes from him anymore. There are certain times I love him, and certain times I can't stand him because he beats me a lot more than he wins for me. So that's that.
Just want to ask you quickly before we wrap up, as I was doing the bio information, you graduated from St. John's, you had a sports administration degree. How did you wind up in the beverage industry?
Well, I only had a 2.2 grade point average. So what he called it, you know, when I graduated, I was looking to be the GM of the Mets or head coach of St. John's. I sat at home, they didn't call me for a year. I just waited and waited. They probably made a mistake. They probably should have called it. Their mistake, not mine. And then my mom threw me out of the basement and said, I got to go get a job. So I got to sales. It started beverages. And, you know, once, Seth, for people who know me, once I get into something, I'm in 100% or I'm not in. And, you know, went from selling beverages and making $22,000 a year to how do I start the next big thing. And I was 29 years old when I started Small Water and Vitamin Water with my partner, Darius. I was 37 years old when we sold that in 07. I vowed never to get back in the beverage industry. 2011, I started Body Armor. November of last year, after 10 years, we sold that to Coca-Cola also. So just blessed, just a really blessed guy. And love my friends, love my family, and love racing.
And you kind of alluded to it, your silks colors.
Blue and orange, like the Mets.
There you go.
Yeah, like the Mets.
And you're a St. John's guy. I'm a Syracuse guy. I will lament you guys are still in the Big East. It's not the old Big East. Nah. I was talking to somebody the other day, that 30 for 30 that ESPN put out, Requiem for the Big East. I like to go back and watch that every once in a while.
Yeah, I love Pearl Washington growing up and Ewing and Chris Mullin. It was a lot of fun back there in the early 80s.
Yeah, there's nothing like the heyday of the Big East. Mike, we really appreciate the visit. Again, congratulations on the great start to the meet. We laid out some horses that we'll look forward to as well, including Be Better this afternoon. But appreciate your stopping by. I know it's very busy with this kind of group of horses, but wish you a lot of good luck going forward.
It's great. Got a horse in the first, too. Don't forget about him.
All right. Oh, and I should ask, you got any maybe 1-2-year-old we should watch?
I haven't named my 2-year-olds yet, but there's a I'll give you two. Secret Jewel out of Gunrunner, and then a Don't Forget About Me out of Curlin.
Don't forget.
So, all right. You know, you might not love them this August, but you might love them next March, April, and May.
All right. I'm hoping for that, too.
Sounds good.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Seth. I appreciate it.
Mike Rapoli. All right. We will wrap it up for this edition of Racing Across America. It was a full show. Hopefully you enjoyed it and got some good ideas. We'll be back tomorrow, as usual, Handicapper Support at 9, Racing Across America at 10 a.m. Enjoy the racing today. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you tomorrow.
You're watching OTB TV. A service of Capital Off-Track Betting.